So today, as we get into this series, as we conclude this series on family responsibility, we're going to talk about order in the home. Now, I got news for you. God has an order for everything He establishes. Nothing does God give us that He doesn't give us some structure and order for it. And so, I want you to open your Bibles with me. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 22, actually. I said 21 there. You can stand with me for the reading. If you wonder what just happened, we get excited when we open the Word of God here. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 22, and half the congregation is going to tune me out with the first line. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bringing them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, and I thank you and I praise you for your strength, for your mercy, and for your power. And Lord, as we conclude this series on family responsibility, and Lord, we talk about the nitty-gritty, where the rubber hits the road, of the order that you have placed in the home. Lord, I pray that you would let us grab a hold of our place in the home and our responsibility, Lord Jesus. Lord, let the men take their role seriously. Let the ladies take their role seriously. Let the children walk in the obedience to which they've called. Let parents walk with the love to which they've been called. Because, Lord, I know that if the family is strengthened, then the family of God is strengthened. If the home is made secure, then the faith is made secure. Lord, bless us this morning. Lord, anoint me to speak your words according to the anointing that you have put into my heart. Give you all glory and all praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Very familiar passage of Scripture that I read, and it's the one that makes many people nervous. And it's amazing to me, it's only part of it that makes most people nervous. We don't mind talking about the kids and the parents and the husbands. We don't like talking about the wives. You know what? I was reading this and I was laying out my sermon, and I was laying out the notes for this in the van yesterday, and I told the team, I said, I've learned one thing in preparing for this sermon. I'm not as gutsy as the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul started out his scriptures talking to the wives. I don't have the guts to start there, so we're going to go out of order. And we're going to start by talking to the husbands. Now, Pastor, why you do this? Well, I do this for a reason. Because, number one, we have a generation that is different. Does that mean the teaching of this scripture is different? By no means. But I can tell you, one of the problems we face in our generation is not women not submitting to husbands, it's husbands not loving wives. I have yet to find a... Let me back up. I rarely find a husband who truly loves his wife that has any problem with his wife submitting to him. Why? Because when the man does his part, and men, we have neglected our homes. We have walked away from our responsibility. We have... Men, we've given control to the women. And I got news for you. I love my mama and I love my Yankee wife. If you think my wife doesn't have an opinion, you don't know her very well. I did not marry one of those dainty little girls that says, whatever, honey. I married one of those little girls that's got the stare. Whatever you want to do. See, I get the whatever, but it's whatever you want to do. See, that's a whole different whatever. But I'm telling you that as men, we have neglected to stand up and be men. We fail to live by the Scripture. Verse 25 in Ephesians here says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let me stop right there. Number one, in a few minutes when we talk about the wives, it's going to talk about them submitting. There's a verse that talks about them respecting. Ladies, I'm about to blow your mind. There's no place that Paul says you need to love your husband. I think you should. Lady over here in the green and black, you should. Whatever you think. But they were not called to love their husbands. They were called to submit and respect. But husbands, we were called to love and not just love. We were called to love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We were called to die for our wives. You want your wife to submit? You want your wife to respect you? Become a man who she understands quickly will lay down his life to protect her. Become a man who loves her so much that he will give up anything to take care of her. You see, the problem we have is we got a bunch of men who have become abusive and they try to flaunt power and they try to flaunt authority instead of showing love. The men are like, I used to like this passage. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word. We are to love our wives so that we can purify them by the washing of water by the word. You know what that means? Men, we're supposed to be the priests of the home. If your wife is the one that's leading the family Bible studies, you're giving her too much control. That's your job, buddy. Pull out the Bible and read it. It's time that we men stand up and become men of God. We've got to be the priest of the home. We've got to be the one purifying the home by the Word of God. Oh, but it's not my personality. It's not your personality, but it's what God called you to do. God called you to be the priest of the home and to cleanse through the washing of the water by word. Look at verse 27. That he might present her to himself a glorious church. This is talking about Christ. That he, Jesus, might present her, he's talking about the church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now he's showing, Paul is showing the comparison between Jesus as the husband and the church as the bride. And that's how us men should treat our wives. Jesus died for his bride. He sanctified or separated his bride. He purifies his bride so that he can present his bride to himself holy and without spot or wrinkle and without blemish. I'm telling you, we're not here, men, to point out the blemishes our wife has. We're here to protect them from those blemishes, to purify them, to cover their weaknesses. That's our job. Sometimes things happen. 35 years ago, I'm not sure Howard and Helen knew every situation that was going to come their way over the next 35 years. I would dare say they didn't realize exactly how many kids they were going to raise. And somewhere, I believe Howard just had to look at Helen and say, quit bringing kids home. But you know what? Through the course of all of it, there was love. There was a place of protection. There was a place of covering. Howard has stood for 35 years as a covering. Howard has been there and been the rock. I tell you, talk about a protector. I want Howard protecting me. I don't know about Helen, but I want him protecting me. I like to hang around Howard. He's bigger than I am, bigger than most people I know. Talk to Howard. He's been there through things he didn't expect, through trials and tribulations where he had to protect, where he had to cover weaknesses of his wife and his children. 23 years ago, my wife and I got married. Had no idea that disease would invade our home. Had no idea that there would come a time that my role as a husband would include caregiver and making sure I help her walk and carry her wheelchair, move her walker. I didn't know that stuff was coming. But because of love, and because I understand that my job is to cover every weakness. My job is to, husband, that is where we have got to step up and become men. We live in a society where as husbands we look at our wives and we go, deal with it yourself. You want to be all powerful, you do it. I got news for you, men. It's about time we start helping. We start covering. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Ooh, I'm about to mess with some men in the house. Oh, Pastor, I don't really love myself. How many of you look like me? Raise your hand, Howard. When I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm tired, I get in my recliner. And I say things like, I've got to take care of myself.
Jesus said, husbands, you love your wives like you love yourself. You'll take time to eat. You'll take time to rest. You'll take time to veg, as we call it. You better make sure that you're loving your wife with the same kind of commitment. That you're taking care of her just like you take care of yourself. Just like you take care of your own needs and your own circumstances. For we are all members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. We become one because it's our job to protect. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. There's a reason why that line's not after the wife's part. It's after the husband's part. Respect can only be earned. You want to talk about order in the home? Your wife is not going to respect you if you don't give her something to respect. Your wife can't respect you if you can't stand up and be the man of the house. Husbands, I'm going to tell you something your wives don't want you to know. She will never respect you if you can never say no to her. Hear what I'm telling you? Boy, it got quiet. All the ladies are like, I ain't laughing. I ain't. He ain't supposed to say no to me. Yeah, we are sometimes. Because we love. Same reasons we say no to our kids. Same reason we say no to other people. Sometimes saying no is the best thing you can do to love. If you can't stand up and say no to the TV so that you can do a family devotion, if you can't stand up and be the man of the house and make a decision, your wife will never be able to respect you. But when you love your wife the way you love yourself, then your wife can respect you. Then she sees that you will protect her, that you'll take care of her, that you'll be there for her, and she can respect you. Men, we have an awesome responsibility to love, to protect, to purify. We're called to be the priest of the home. But wives, now I'll go back to where Paul started. And I'll talk to the wives for a few minutes. I can talk to husbands and I can be pretty straight because I is one. I know what it means to be the husband. I am not a wife. That shocks a few of you. But I can tell you what God has called the wives to be. Verse 22, the one that gets us riled up. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Now, I did this in a different order than Paul did. Because I believe we need to understand first that men need to be men, and we live in a society where our men are not men anymore. But if our men are being true men of God, wives, your responsibility is to submit. I sat with a couple recently, and some decisions had been made in their home. And I spent the first time talking to this couple, mostly to the husband. Dude, my personal opinion, you missed it. You jumped the gun. I had him looking like a whoop puppy. And I noticed through the conversation that his wife looked like my wife. Whatever you want. I turned to the wife. I said, now I need to give you some advice. Whether he made a mistake or not, it's over now. It's done. your responsibility is submit to Him, support Him, and don't be going around saying, look what you did to us. It's not going to help anything. Wives, when a man's being a man of God, submit to him. I got news for you. Men may make the wrong decision occasionally. We may not make up the bed every day or pick up our dishes, or we may get overexcited and change jobs a little too often. I can tell you most of the time that happens because we think we're getting a better job. I got news for you, ladies. The Bible has called you to submit to your own husband. I'm not saying submit to somebody that's not a leader, not a man of God. I've already told the men they need to be men of God. Oh, but Pastor, my husband's not a Christian. And my husband, number one, you chose that. And you single people, you young people in here, don't come to me whining later because you've got problems in your marriage because you married somebody who didn't believe in Christ. You don't even talk to them unless they're a child of God. Well, I can't help who I fall in love with. Yes, you can. You quit talking to them, make googly eyes at them. You ain't going to fall in love with them. We could fix most divorces before anybody ever got married. But when you got a man of God in your house, or if you've even got a sinner, if you will show him that you can be a biblical wife, you will show them the gospel of peace. Proverbs says, cantankerous wife, like a dripping faucet. Man, it's okay to say amen. Don't leave me stranded up here. Oh, man, the ladies were all over you. You can say amen. Men are looking at me like, I ain't saying nothing. Move on, Pastor. I'll tell you something. Ladies, I'm trying to show you how to build strength. And it comes from the order that God gave us. I would never want my wife. And I'm using Howard and Helen here a little bit today. I can tell you, I've been around Helen long enough to know. Howard knows what she thinks. Everybody else does. If Howard doesn't, he's good at ignoring her because everybody else knows what Helen thinks. And I would not change that about Helen, nor would I change that about my own wife. My wife, I know what she thinks. But I also know when it comes down to it, my wife submits. My wife submits to the point that if anybody early in our marriage is common in our society, people go, oh, well, we know who wears the pants in your house. It would offend my wife. You know why it offended her? Because that wasn't a godly home. And her desire was to be godly. And guarantee you, everybody knows what Helen thinks, but she's a godly wife. When it comes down to it, she submits. That's why there's 14,000 cars parked around her house. I remember when Howard had come to me and said, I want to buy that church van. And I said, that nasty little van? I was going to junk it. And I said something to Helen. I said, Howard still wants that van? She goes, oh, he don't need that van. Guess what? Howard bought that van, made it the coolest van in town. Every kid in the youth group's like, why can't we have that as a church van again? Didn't have Howard's touch on it when it was a church van. But submission doesn't mean that you don't have an opinion. Submission means that you share it, but you understand that in the godly order of the home, the husband is the one that has to make the decision. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband the same way you submit to the Lord. Ooh. I know I got to get off this verse and I got to move on. You want to know what's wrong with the church in America? Much of the church in America is ran by women. And most of the church in America is ran by women who don't submit themselves to the husband. Therefore, they don't know how to submit themselves to their Lord. And so they go around backbiting and gossiping and talking and being angry at people and being angry at this and the other. When you learn to submit to the Lord, you can learn to submit to your husband. Then you can become a godly woman. Otherwise, you become a dripping faucet. Got a lot of drips in the church. Oh, I intend. Did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to say that out loud. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Paul lays out to you, you submit to him because he is the head of the home, just like Christ is the head of the church. The same way we honor Christ, we honor our wives honor their husband because we've been put there to be the head. I got news for you. When we get things out of order, we get things messed up. I have a disease. I'm being serious. I have a disease called dyslexia. Many people have heard of dyslexia. When I was a kid, nobody knew what it was. Never understood why they put such a big name on a word, on a disease that means you can't spell. Because like I could never list that as a disease. I can't spell it. I have dyslexia. You know what dyslexia does? Dyslexia causes my brain to confuse the locations of letters and sometimes words. Sometimes you'll even notice in my reading, I will grab a word from another line and I'll read out of order because it's the way my brain sees it. Because my brain sends me messages that are out of order, when I put a word on the screen, sometimes it's misspelled. Sometimes I read wrong. Why? Because there's no order there. When we get our homes out of order, they become dysfunctional and they don't work right. Husbands, you got to be the man, and ladies, you got to submit, just like you submit to God. Because he is the man is the head of the wife, just like Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, Pastor, we can laugh and we can talk about all this stuff, but he ain't telling me what to do. Let me word it to you this way. Let me ask you this question. We're going to start at the best and work our way backwards. If your husband is doing what I've already preached to the husband, he loves you to the point he'll die for you, if he'll do anything to protect you, if he is trying to cover every weakness you have, he's built up such commitment to you that your respect is high, would it be easier to say, what do you think I should do, honey? A whole lot. Now, let's say your husband's not quite there yet. I say again, you done messed up, married somebody you don't believe. What do? You show them what a godly wife is. And when you start submitting, they start going, what is wrong with you? Well, this is what the Lord wants me to do. And when they start seeing God at work in you, then it opens the door for them to say, what can God do? I tell this church all the time, you never change anybody else. You can only change yourself. If your husband's not being the man of the house, you can't make him be the man of the house. But you can be the woman of God in the house. You can be the one doing what God has intended the order of the home to be an example, so that he can find the power
to walk in and begin to become the man that he needs to be. Husbands, we need to love. We need to protect. Wives, you need to submit. You need to listen. You need to support. You understand that when Eve was created, God took a rib from Adam and built Eve. You notice he didn't take a foot bone for man to walk all over Eve. Nor did he take a bone from the skull for woman to lord over man. Yet he took a rib from his side so that woman could fall under the reach of a man's arm, and so that woman could wrap around the tender place of a man's heart. We fit together. We fit together. It's not about men are in charge and women are not. It's about that we fit together. It's about that my wife protects my heart and I protect my wife. I talked about this the other day. My strengths and her strengths weave together. We've become one flesh. So men, we love and we protect, and we're willing to die for. And ladies, you protect our hearts. You submit to us. You follow us the way you follow Christ. That's the order of the marriage. Something great, I think, happens in most marriages. Kids. Usually they're great. Sometimes they happen more often than others. Howard and Helen. They've raised more youngins than I would ever dare challenge to raise. Kids have a role. And there's a few kids in here. There's some teens. But all of us have parents. And if we want the order in our home to be right, then we need to make sure that we are right as kids. You know, you're always a kid. If you don't believe it, look at how old I am. I have gray in my beard. It's been pointed out to me a lot lately. And yet, if I go to Sykeston, Missouri, there's a man and a woman in Sykeston, Missouri, that I'm just their baby boy. Oh, you need any shoes?
No.
You need any money?
Yeah.
You need any food?
Yeah.
We stopped for lunch on the way to Louisiana in Sykeston, Missouri. You know why? I didn't want to buy lunch. Daddy bought my lunch. I'm always going to be their baby. No matter how old I get, I'm going to be their baby. We're always a kid. And I got news for you. I'm about to mess with some people's brains. Some of you are trying hard to raise your kids differently than you were raised. But when it comes down to it, there's a high chance your kids will treat you the way you treat your parents. That just scared some people. I talk to my dad all the time. My oldest son, Ant, used to laugh at me, made fun of me. You just always talking to Papa. He's been gone. This is his third year gone now. He calls me, and the people on the trip can vouch for this. He calls me 2 to 3 times every day. Every day, and most of the time just to talk. He called Beth and Michael last night and was talking, and Michael said, "I'll be back in a minute," and left the room, and Anna was in there washing dishes or something.
And she took a video. Nobody in the room. And my auntie's just telling a story. Everybody had left. He was still talking. He was talking to nobody. But my son treats me the way I treated my dad. He grew up seeing a man call his father all the time. So it just seems natural to him, even though he made fun of it, to call his dad all the time. Chapter 6, Paul addresses the kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice that phrase. Obey your parents in the Lord. You know what that does? That takes care of those parents that don't know how to parent. Those parents that tell you to do things that are not holy. God's command is you obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. This one changes, though. Honor your father and mother. That doesn't say in the Lord. I don't care what your parents did. And I know some of your parents did atrocious things. Hideous things. Somewhere in your heart, you need to find a place to forgive them. I don't know how to forgive them. Start blessing them. Every day, God bless them. You will eventually forgive and love everybody you bless. It may take a while, but you'll get there. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it will be well with you and you will live long, and you will live long on the earth. When God gave the commandments to Moses, He gave the commandments, but all of a sudden when He gave honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, He gave a promise to go with it. Kids, young people, I want you to listen to me. Your responsibility is to obey. When I was your age, when I was a kid, my dad would say, "Do this." And I'd say, "Why?" And my dad would look at me and say, "Because I said so." And I remember walking away from my dad going, "When I have kids, I'll always give them a reason." When I had kids, I found out because I said so was a pretty stinking good reason. We can't always, as parents, explain to you why you need to do something. But trust us, we've been there. My son called me this week. "Dad, next summer I'm going to need to go get a job in a local theater. They won't pay much. I'm wondering if I should sell my car and buy a van so I can live in it." Son, you are a hippie. I understand that. But let's wait and see where you go. There's other options. But no, just hold on. You're always wanting to be spontaneous. Don't plan 6 months out to be spontaneous. We'll work this out. Why? Because I'm trying to teach him. I can't explain to a free living 20-year-old why that he might not want to try to live in his van. Sounds fun. Well, he doesn't shower anyway. Somebody said he doesn't have a shower. He's a hippie. He don't shower. But I'm like, hang on. I can't explain to him all the reasons, but I can just convince him, look, wait. Kids, your parents know more than you think they know. Now let me talk to the adults. As I mentioned a while ago, some of you have parents that have done horrendous things. And some of you have parents that are so far away from faith that they can't even comprehend the way you live now. But if you will show them honor, you don't always have to agree with them. I'm not even saying have them move in with you. I love my parents, but I don't want them moving in with me. But honor them. Send them a note once in a while. Call them once in a while. If you can only talk for 3 minutes without fighting, call them 3 minutes a month. Because I'm going to tell you, when your kids grow up, seeing you not communicate with your parents, they're not going to think it's important enough for them to communicate with you. This is, and I know it seems hard, but find a way. Because you want your kids. I used to tell Beth all the time, Beth and Anthony, they're one and the same, except Beth takes showers. They have the same personality. She always made fun of me for calling my dad, and I used to say, I hope that my kids call me. And she didn't pick on me so much about talking to dad anymore because she sees what happens. I get called because it seems normal. Parents, we have a responsibility, and I got to close. We have a problem in America. We have men that won't be husbands and refuse to be dads. We have women who won't support the men that I love so much. They love them enough to have babies with them, and then they don't want nothing to do with them. We got a bunch of kids running around without parents. I'm going to tell you, kids need a father and they need a mother. They need a mom that's going to kiss their scraped knee, and a dad's going to tell them, get up and go on. Because they need both. They need a mom that's going to make sure everything is done right and cleaned up. And a dad that says, see what that mud pie tastes like. Because they need both. I made a church mad one time because I said, I believe every kid needs to know what dirt tastes like. Well, we need kids that have dads and that have moms. When we have kids with dads and moms, then they usually can figure out if they're a boy or a girl. Said that out loud, didn't I? When you got a generation of people where gender identification is becoming an issue, it is proof that there's not enough fathers and mothers in their lives. Chapter 6, verse 4 says this, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. You know what that means? Don't just push your kids. Don't. I'm telling you, we need some dads that. We need some moms and dads both that know how to use a belt or a switch. But, you hear me, that's not a beating. That's not pushing our kids. I've known some men and women, I won't even call them fathers and mothers because they don't deserve the title. They were always pushing their kids to fight and always pushing their kids to this. And pushing. No, that's provoking. But we need some men and women who will be godly men and women. And I got news for you. When you live your life as a godly husband and as a godly wife, you will naturally be godly parents. And when we bring them up, in the training and the admonition of the Lord, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, we teach them what's right and wrong. When we see the kids running around the church, we say, stop! When we look at the kids and we see them going down the wrong road, we tell them no. When you see them playing with fire, you say no. Parents, we have a responsibility to raise our kids loving God. My two boys are almost raised. And neither one of my boys are perfect. in the eyes of men? Have I had to pray? Have I had to pray for my boys? Yes. Have I had to set my boys down and tell them that what they're doing wasn't godly? Yes. But have I watched as my two boys have found their way to where both of them are highly involved in church? Both of them are committed to the Word of God. Michael at 17 is already doing ministry. Anthony, 20 years old, weird looking kid. But half of his conversation with me is about the Bible and theological questions and what does this mean and what's my thought on this doctrine and that doctrine. And sometimes I'm like, let me get a book. Hated it when he went to college. I don't understand what he's talking about anymore. But I hear a desire in his life to be as close to God as he can get. Church, I've come by here to tell you, parents, raise your kids right. Raise your kid right. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's going to be okay. Howard and Helen raised a lot of kids. They've been through a lot. But man, made Helen cry when she saw some of the people that walked in this building today. And I can guarantee you, a few months ago, when Tyrone came in out of nowhere and just sat down, oh, what's happening here? And then the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week. All those hours of praying for him. All those days, nights of crying over, paid off. Parents, we've got to love them. We've got to care for them. I know this has not been a shout down the wall service, but I can tell you this is a sermon that will change your home. And if your home will change, it'll change the church. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Kids, obey. Parents, don't bring them to wrath. Love your kids. When you get the family in the right order, everything else falls into place. Let's go, Lord, in prayer.